All right, we're going to start at the top of Membet, Amud Aleph. So we are going to discuss, yesterday we discussed about the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim with regards to whether a chetzi avdo, right, when a adon is trying to give a chetzi eved, can he do it derech shtar, and can he do it derech kesef? So we had a machlokas between Rabbi, right, who explained it. He says that the machlokas is by shtar, but by kesef, divrei hakol, that you can do it. You can be kone chatzi eved. And then we had the Ula's Rav Yosef's presentation, right? That he says machlokas bekesef, and then he said divrei hakol by shtar, that it was lo kana. And in the end, he said he had to reverse that position. And his position in the end was that there was a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim in both of those issues, both in kesef and shtar, where they have the ability to be kone chatzi eved. So now Rabba says, this machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim on the top of Membet Amud Aleph is Amar Rabba machlokas b'shishicher chetzio ve'ini chetzio. That's when he tries to free half his slave. Aval shichrer chetzio v'machar u'machar chetzio. If he freed half the slave and he sold the other half of the slave, o natan b'matana, or the other half he gave away chetzio, kema denofek mine kulei divriho kol kano. Right, so that because he's changing ownership of the entire slave, doesn't matter that it ends up in the hands of two parties, but the fact that he's releasing the entirety of the slave, then it can work. Meaning that doesn't matter. Everybody would agree, whether it's shtar or kesef, that it should work. So Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, Ubekulo lo plige. Is that really the case? Vahatani chado, hakotev nechosev lishnei avadov. A person who writes all of his possessions to two of his slaves. Kanu, they acquire all of his possessions, u'mishachrin ze'edzeh, and then they're able to free each other. Meaning that since they've both taken possession of all of this Adon's possessions, there's a possibility that they own a piece of each other, so they free each other, whatever piece they own of each other, they free. V'tanya idoch, and we have another brisa that says, Omer kol nechasai nitunim l'ploni u'ploni avdai, right, so that he gives over, again, similar idea that he gives all his possessions over to his two avadim. Af atzmam lo kanu. Over here, they're not even acquiring themselves. So it's clear that there's a stira in the brisa. One brisa says when he gifts all of his possessions to two avadim, they acquire everything, plus they can free each other, and they're okay. The second brisa says that if he gifts all of his property to two avadim, then they get nothing, plus they're not even kona themselves. So the Gemara says, my love, so Bai suggests, my love, ha rabbi v'ha rabbonon. No problem. The brisa, the machlokas in the brisa is Rabbi and the Chachamim, right? Because whether you can be kone chatzi avdo is exactly that machlokas. Rabbi says you can be kone when you give away chatzi avdo, you can be kone. And the Chachamim say you can't be kone. And so Bai's point is even when you give away the full evet, but if you give it away to two parties, that won't work. I mean, that's still the equivalent to giving a chatzi evet. And therefore, you see there's still a machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim when it comes to chatzi avdo, even though he's giving away the entirety of the Evet. So Gemara says, well, idi v'idi rabbonon. These braisot are both rabbonon, are both according to the rabbonon. So now, what's the difference in the braisot? Now, the Gemara is going to give three ways to understand this Gemara. The Gemara is going to go through ibai semi, ibai semi, spema. So basically, they're going to say it's kulo rabbonon, and now they're going to give different alternatives to explain why the braisot have different conclusions. For the first explanation for the two braisot is habikudam or kulo. Hamad Amar Chetzi Chetzi. Right, that one braiso he said kulo. He said he gave away the entirety of the Evet. And the other he said Chetzi Chetzi. He said half and half. So now, if he gives away kulo, right, meaning that the first braiso, he gives away the entirety of his possessions to both Avadim. So in that case, it works. And they acquire all of his possessions, plus they are able to free each other. So you want to look quickly in Rashi. I just look in this Rashi, Adamar Kulo, because it's important enough that we may as well look at it now. So Adamar Kulo in Rashi. Kamaita, right, the first Braisa. Kagon Shekotav Shtei Shtarot, right, he wrote two documents. Ubechol Echad Kotav Kol Nechsai Leploni Avdi. In each document, he wrote the entirety of his possessions to each Eved. Umodar Abonon, and Rabbanan agree here, came into Zika Lehem Bevat Achat. Since he gave it to them both at the same time, obviously he gave all his possessions to one Evet, and then subsequently gave all his possessions to the other Evet, the first Evet acquired everything, there's nothing left for the second Evet. So it must be that he gave it to them simultaneously. How does he give it to them simultaneously? That's, how do you do that? He's bezika them al yedei acher, meaning that he wrote a shtar to each of them, of a entire of his possessions, At the same moment, he hands it over to a third party and says, Bizoche on their behalf. So now they're both acquiring simultaneously all of his possessions. So in that case, it works. And the entirety of the slave is removed. Konu. In that case, they're konet. Ubatraita. But the second brisa, damar chetzi chetzi b'shtar achad. Katav chetzi. Sorry, chetzi chetzi. He said half and half. B'shtar achad. Katav chetzi neschay lecha. In one shtar, he wrote half of my possessions belong to you. V'chein b'sheni lechaveiro. And then to the other slave, he says half of my possessions belong to you. So in that case, it won't work. Lafikach lo konu. Davalei b'chol echad shichver chetzio. Because in each contract, if he gives half of his possessions away, then he's only giving him half of the slave. Right? And he left half the slave back. So, he says, not only, Rashi, this is a Chiddush in Rashi, not only if he gives it to one slave first, and then gives it to the second slave, meaning he gives the shtar to one slave, and then he gives the shtar to the other slave, the lokanu, that they don't work, the chimasa lakama shir palge, because clearly when he gave it to the first one, he left over half, right? The lokanu, the chen lesheni, and when he gave it to the second one, obviously he was only giving him half, because he gave half to the first one. El afis afilu masa l'shneim ka'achat, even if he gives them both the shtarot simultaneously, the same way he did in the other case, which is that he handed them one both shtarot to a third party simultaneously, lokanu, it doesn't work. Because in each contract, or each star, Shichur, he wrote, you get half of my possessions. Dilma, chad palga ketiv letarvayu, v'ika shiur. It's interesting, Rashi says that even if he did it simultaneously, it won't work. Why? Because he doesn't define which half he gives to them. He might have gifted the same 50% to both of Adim. Who says that he gave 50% and then the other 50% he gave to the Evet? Maybe he gave the same 50% to both of Adim. In that case, there's a shiur, there's a leftover piece of each Evet, and when there's a leftover piece, the Rabbonon agree, or the Rabbonon stated before, that he's not konet. So that's the difference between them. This is the first explanation of the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon believe that you cannot be konet chatzi Evet. So when it's a case, the first price went to case when he gives them a shtar and says, you acquire all my possessions, and he gave it to both of them simultaneously, since in that instance he gave away everything and all of them, then they go free, because there's no chatzi Evet, there was a complete Evet. In the second brisa, he gave away to both of them 50% of his property. So now, if he didn't do it simultaneously, then it's clear that he left over a piece of them each time, because they only got 50%, and the Rabbanan say in that case, you're not kona atzmo. Or, Rashi's chiddush is that even if he gave it to one person simultaneously, it was mezakeh to them simultaneously, he still has a shiur, because we don't know if he gave two parts of his property, 50% to each of them, or he gave the same 50% to both of them. And in that case, there's still a shiur, there's a leftover of the avadim. So that's the first explanation. Mikhtoni seifa, the second brisa, the seifa of this second brisa says, v'im amar chetzi chetzi lo kanu. There explicitly says in the seifa of that second brisa that if he said chetzi chetzi, it doesn't work. Michlau de resha de amar kulo. Right, that infers that the first part of the second brisa was talking about kulo, and we just set up the first part of the second brisa to be chetzi chetzi. So Gemara says, no problem, that's Pirushei Kamefaresh. The seifa of that second brisa is explaining what the resha meant. Af atzman lo kanu, what does it mean that they are not kona themselves? Ketzad, what's the case? Gugon d'amar chetzi chetzi. So if he said chetzi chetzi. So Gemara says, hachinami mistavra, that makes sense to explain it this way. Di sakadatcha resha d'amar kulo. Right, because if you think the first case is where he said kulo, hashta amar kulo lo kanu amar chetzi chetzi mi bai. If the resha is talking about kulo, right, and then you have a sefer that's talking about chetzi chetzi, and it's not being mefarish what the resha really meant, then if you can't, when you give him over all his possessions, the evet's not konet, then you have to tell me when you only give him half his possessions, he's not konet. It's obvious that'd be the case. Smart says, imishum ha lo iria. If it was for that reasoning, that's not a good deal, because that's not a good logical argument to say why it's Purusha Mekfarish. Why? Tana Seifa Ligluya Eresha. Because I wrote the Seifa in order to make known what the case was in the Resha. Right? Shalot Tama Resha Damar Chetzi Chetzi. In order that you won't say that the first case in the second Brisa is Chetzi Chetzi. Avalamar Kulo Kanu. But had he said Kulo, it would work. So Tana Seifa, then we write the Seifa Damar Chetzi Chetzi, Mechal de Resha Damar Kulo, to teach you that. Right, v'apilu achi lo kano, and nevertheless not kone. That's so. The Gemara says, based on that, I wouldn't have come to any conclusion. But the Gemara does say that the reseifa of the second brisa is mefarish the ratio of the second brisa, which is how do we set up? We set up the first brisa, the case where he gave kulo to each of them, and we set up the second brisa, we gave chetzi chetzi. And even though the second brisa, the seifa of that brisa, says chetzi chetzi explicitly, which implies that the ratio is kulo, we say no, that the seifa there where it says chetzi chetzi explaining what the case was in the ratio, and that the ratio case in that second brisa was a case of chetzi chetzi. So that's the first answer according to the Rabbanan. Now we're going to do the second answer. V'yibayitema. Lo kasha. How do we explain the steer between these two brisot? Kan b'shtar echad, kan b'shtei shtarot. It depends if he used one shtar, right, or he used two shtarot. So what's a shtar echad and shtei shtarot? Right, so if he says b'shtar echad, if in one document he says lo kana, why? Kagon kol nechzai leploni uploni avadai. Right, it's because by a get, where do we learn out get shechur from? We learn out get shechur from get isha. By a get isha, you can't divorce two women with the same get. So the same thing over here. You can't free two slaves with a single shtar. So when it's in a shtar echad, it doesn't work. But if it's in two shtarot, right, then you can do it because each eved got his own shtar. So based on that, we explain the first brisa that says that they are kanu is a case where he gave them each independently a shtar. And the second case, the second brisa, a case where it says lo kanu, it doesn't work, is a case where he gave one shtar to both avadim. Now the Gemara questions this. Gemara says, b'shtar echad, ma'iriya chetzi chetzi. Why is the case in the second brisa chetzi chetzi, a case where it's half and half, right? Because by shtar echad, afilo amar kulo, nami lo kanu. If the failure here is the fact that it's written in a single shtar, it doesn't matter how he gifts it to them. It doesn't matter if he gifts it to them half and half or he gifts all of it to them each. It won't work no matter what because he's got a failure in the get shichrur. And so why do we set up that second price as chetzi chetzi? So Gemara says, ochanami kamar, af atzman lo kanu. They themselves, they were not kona themselves. Bamed var mamurim. What case is it that they're not kona themselves? B'shtar echad. Aval b'shtei shtarot kanu. But by two shtarot, it would work. V'yamar chetzi chetzi. But if he says chetzi chetzi, af b'shtei shtarot, lami lo kanu. Then it won't work in shtei shtarot. So that's how we explain again. So the ratio, the first brisa, will be a case where he gave it to them in two shtarot. And that's why it works. Second brisa is a case where he gave it to them in one shtar. It doesn't work because you can't give a get shichur in one shtar. And there the Gemara says that even if you give it in two shtarot, if you see chetzi chetzi in the two shtarot, that's also a failure. And then it won't work. So that's the second possibility of explaining the brisas. Now we're going to go to a third explanation. V'yibayitema. Next possibility is lokasha. Kan bevat achat. Kan bezechar zeh. Depends how he gifted it to them. Did he gift it to them simultaneously? Or did he gift it to them one after the other? So this is a case where he said kulo. He gave the entirety of his possessions to them. So obviously, if he gifts it to them simultaneously, then it works because they both took possession, right? But if he gave it to them zeh or zeh, right, then it won't work because the first eved will take possession and then the second eved won't have anything. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Batra Lokani. All right, makes sense that the second Eved's not Kone. Da Kone Lekama, because the first Eved took possession of all the property. Elekame Liknei Napshe. Right? So why doesn't the first Eved take possession? If he took possession of everything, then the first Eved should be fine. Velikne Lechavere. And he'll also acquire his friend. I mean, not only will he acquire himself and be free, but he'll also have a new slave. He'll get the second slave as his slave. All right. So it's clear that this answer is not a good answer because according to this answer, when you say zechar zeh, at least one of the slaves works out, right? I mean, the first slave is fine in this zechar zeh. The second slave is true, is lo kanu, but the first one is kanu, so the Gemara leaves that out. So those were the three possibilities. Three possibilities explaining the machlokas in the brito, the two britos, right? We didn't want to explain it. Rabba made this statement that the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim is only in a case where he tries to get free half of the slave. 50% of the slave he tries to free and retain the other 50%. But if he disengaged from the entire slave by either selling half and freeing half or gifting half and freeing half, that would work. Abaye challenged him and says, that really true? I have two brightot that seem to say one says it works, one says it doesn't work. And the simplest explanation to explain that's a machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim. So it sounds like the machlokas extends even to this case. So Rabbi answers up. The Gemara answers up, no, that these Braitot are both Rabbanon. And they attempted three answers. The first answer, again, was that it's a case where he says kulo versus chetzi chetzi. He has to gift the entirety versus gifting half. When he gifts its entirety, that works because he's given the entirety of everything to each slave. So there they can take possession of themselves and free each other. Chetzi chetzi does not work because there's leftover. There's something left over. When there's something left over, right, then we worry about the fact that the slave's not freed in his entirety. And the chum say, if the slave's not freed in his entirety, then he's not a, right, then it doesn't work. That was the chum argued on Rebbe in that instance. That was the first answer. The second answer was what? Shtar echad and shtei shtarot. That if you freed him in one shtar, it doesn't work because you can't give a get shichrur for two avadim in a single shtar. That would be the second brace. And the first brace where it worked is where he gave it into two shtarot. He gave it in two separate shtarot. Again, that's even when he gifted it kulo, when it's in one shtar, it doesn't work. Gemara attempted a third answer, which was the Zechar Zer versus Bat Achat. And the Gemara rejects that answer because the Zechar Zer does not work in the second brace. So the second brace is that neither of them are kone. But the truth is that the first one in a Zechar Zer would be kone, and therefore the Gemara rejects that third answer. Rav Ashi is going to attempt an alternative answer to reconcile the Braitot. Rashi Amar Shiny Hatam, the Kakari Luhu Avadai. Because the difference between the Braitot is that in the first Braita, he gifts it to them. He says, "Kol anechsai nitunin leploni uploni," right? That he gives the shnei avadav. He gives all his possessions to his two slaves. In the second brisa, it says leploni pono avadai. So in the second brisa, he still refers to the avadim who he's gifting to as avadim. So Rav Ashi says, by the fact that he still calls them avadim, it's clear that he's not gifting them themselves. If he was meshachar them, he wouldn't call them his avadim. The fact that he still refers to him as his avadim in the second shtar is what causes it not to be free. In the first shtar, he just gives all his nechatsav to shtei avadah, but he doesn't call them his avadim. So that's why they're free. But in the second brisa, where he calls them still his avadim, that shows that he's not freeing them, because he's still referring to them as avadim. So Amalei Rafram the Ravashi. So Rafram says to Ravashi, V'dilma avadai shayukivar. Right, so maybe it means when he says my avadim, it doesn't mean that he's still referencing them as avadim, but rather he's saying you who were my avadim. Right, not that he's referencing in the present tense, but he's saying in the past you were my avadim. Milo tnan, don't we have a mishnah that says a kotev kol nechasav la'avdo yatza lecherut? Right, someone who writes all of his property to his eved, the eved goes free. Shir karka koshu lo yatza. Right, we had this actually earlier in the mesechta. Right, if he leaves over any piece of property, then he's lo yatzal lecherut. Why? Because we're afraid that when he said shir karka, that he left over a portion of the eved. If he left over a portion of the eved, then the eved does not go free. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo olam hu ben chorim. Even when he says that he leaves over a piece of property, he goes free because the eved is distinct from property. All right, ad shiomar kol nechsein netunim leploni, and until he says that all my possessions are given to ploni avdi, chutz mi echad mi ribosh bem, except for 1/10,000th of them. Because in that case, he doesn't reference karka, he just leaves out 1/10,000th of his possession, and we're afraid that he didn't get that 1/10,000th is actually a portion of the Eved. So if the Eved did not acquire himself in his entirety, then he is unable or his inability to acquire other stuff or other people. So the Gemara says, Taima do amar chutz me'achan mi ribosh ben. The failure here is because he says that I left over 1/10,000th of my property. Halo amar hachi, had he not said that, koni, he would have been konet. And what's the lashon in this Mishnah? The Rabbi Shimon's, what's the lashon here? It says, Kol nechasai nitunim leploni avdi. So he's calling him his Eved. And despite the fact that he's calling him his Eved, it still works. Amai ha'eved kakari le. He's calling him his Eved, and yet we're saying that it would work in this case. Ela avdi shahaya kvar. It must be that we're interpreting avdi means my Eved who was my Eved. Not that he's presently my Eved anymore, but he was my Eved. Achaname avadai shahayu kvar. Also over here, when it says avadai, it means my avadai. They were my avadim. Not that I'm still saying they're my avadim, but they were my avadim. And therefore, we reject, or Avram rejects this solution of Rav Ashi for the two braitot. Again, so we had four answers. The first two work, and the latter two are rejected by the Gemara. Right? One the shtar, by the Bat Achat and Zechazeh, and Rav Ashi's attempt to explain the braitot based on the fact that he calls them avadai. Right, Rafram says it doesn't work because we see in other places that Avdi, even if he calls them Avdi, it works. Because when we interpret Avdi and Avadai, not to mean that they're literally still my Avadim, but rather as that those who were my Avadim and those that were my Evet. All right, now, this next Gemara is, as Rashi calls it, the Gemara itself is going to call it a Memra. This is like a made-up case, and it's a made-up case to deal with the issue. If you remember in our Mishnah, Beit Hillel had a position originally that the Eved would work one day when he had two partners. One partner freed the Eved, and the other partner keeps the Eved. That the Eved would work one day for the Rav, for the Adon, and one day for himself. That was the solution. So now, based on that solution, the Gemara comes up with this. Nakcho shor yom shel rabo. Right? If he got gored by a shor on the day of his Rav, the rabo, then it would go to his Rav, to his master. Yom shel atzmo. If the shor gored him on his day, right, then he would go la atzmo. He would collect it. Elamiata. If that's based on that, if that's your solution, yom shel rabo yisla shivcha, then why, when he's with his master, he'll marry his shivcha kananit? Yom shel atzmo, on the day that he's himself, yisla bat chorin, he'll be married to his free wife. Meaning that he'll basically have two wives, you know, one wife for his day of Eved, and one wife for his day when he's a ben chorin. So Gemara says, yisula lo kamrinon. No, meaning that it's clear, when we're talking about dinei mamononos, there's a way to be mechalik, right? You can divide up. Monetary matters can be divided up, and you can split it up. So that makes sense, that one day for his Rav, one day for him. When it comes to Yisura, a person can't be in both places at once when it comes to Yisura. He can't both be a Ben Chorin and an Eved. He has to be either or, and that's the problem. So that doesn't solve the problem of marriage. And now the Gemara continues. Tashma, hey meet, if you have a case where a shor muad comes and kills Mishchetzu Eved v'chetzio ben chorin, a slave that is a chetzio Eved and a chetzio ben chorin. Notein chatzi knas l'rabo. What happens to a slave who is killed? An Eved Kanani, a regular Eved Kanani that's killed by a shor muad, his master gets to collect 30 shekel. Right? That's what the Torah says. There's a knas, flat mount. No matter how much the Eved is worth, he gets 30 shekel when a shor muad gores and kills an Eved Kanani. So then he gets chatzi knas. Half of the knas, not the full knas, but half the knas will be given to the adon, to his master. Vechetzi kofer the yorshav. What happens if a shor muad kills a regular Yisrael? If a shor muad kills a regular Yisrael, right, all right, goes to the yorshav. Don't worry, the Gemara is going to ask you a question. All right. Chatzi kofer liyorshav. So now kofer, that's the regular. When Yisrael gets killed by a shor muad, you pay kofer, meaning you pay the value of the haruk. You pay the value of the haruk, and that's the kofer. I mean, the mazik, the owner of that shor, pays that money to the Yisrael. He's not alive anymore, so it goes to his yorshim. Amai. Why is this working? Meaning that we just said, according to this memo, what would we say? We said that if he was hurt on the day that he was working for himself, then he gets the money from that day. If he's hurt on the day that he goes to his Rav or his Adon, then he gets the money. So why don't we say the same thing when he's getting killed? If the Shor Muad killed him on the day he was working for his Adon, then the Adon should get the full Knas. Or if the Shor Muad killed him on the day he was working for himself, his Yorshim should get the full Kofar. So, Hachanami, Lema Yom Shel Rabo, the Rabo, Yom Shel Atzmo, the Atzmo. Where it says, how can you compare these cases? Shani Hocha, the Kakalia Karno. The difference, meaning that here, you are eliminating the entirety of the Eved. Right? If the Eved is killed, right, it has impact, no matter which day he's killed on, it has impact on both of them. Because the next day, which would have belonged to him, he can't go back either. Meaning that he's lost out on both his day and the Rav's day. No matter, because he's killed on that day, that means that he affected for life. There's a Karen. There's a, you know, and the principle now has been eliminated. When you eliminate the principle, you affect both parties here. And therefore, you split it up. Elohei Chadami, right? The Dol Kal Yakarno. So what's a case? Explain to me a case where you don't hurt the Evet Kal Yakarno. We don't affect the principle. Gagon, Shikala Yado, but Samta Yado. That a case where he hit him on the hand, he injured him on the hand, and his hand shriveled up or became injured. V'sovalachzor, and the end it will return to its regular state, meaning that it's a curable damage or the damage is curable. Anicha la'abaye, that makes sense according to Abaye. Damar notein lo shevet gedola v'shevet tana shapir. That makes sense. I'm going to explain this in 1 second. El l'rovo, damar notein lo el shivto shebechol yom v'yom ha'shorhu v'shorinu mishalem el nezek. All right, so now, what's the problem here? The problem is that the ox hurt him, and the ox hurt him by damaging his hand. Now, when an ox damages this person's hand, what are you entitled to? What is this person entitled to in terms of recompense or compensation? So Abaye says that he's entitled to both Shevet Gedola and Shevet Ketana. What's Shevet? Generally, Shevet, from the word Shabbat, right, is unemployment, right? That would be someone who is Batel, can't do anything. So what's the difference? What's Shevet Gedola and Shevet Ketana? There's actually two types of unemployment that come about. And that is that you have Nezek, which reduces the value of the individual. Plus, in addition to that, in the reduced form, there's unemployment. So for instance, here, if he damages his hand, right? By damaging his hand, the Eved is now worth less money. Since he's worth less money, we have a differential between what he was before and what he is now. That differential is called Nezek, which is basically the present value of all the future ability of this Eved to work. What he could have done before he got damaged and what he could have done afterwards. The difference between them is Nezek. That's called Shevet Gedola. What's Shevet Ktana? That even after you've paid him for that difference, right? Now, once he has his hand, he can still do what? He can be, the Gemara's classic case is Shomer Kshuyim. He can be a guy who watches over zucchini patches, meaning that he can still work, he just can't do certain labors, but he's still employable at a certain level. So therefore, his... Exactly. So he sits that the Nezek that you caused him is from what he used to be able to do to this less valuable job. But right now, he's actually not even able to do that less valuable job. Why? Because he's injured. He's in pain. He's in too much pain. He's in the hospital. So he can't, not only have you caused him Nezek to go to this lower level job, but right now, even that lower level job, you're causing him to be unemployed because he can't work that lower level job. So that's called Shevet Ktana. That's called unemployment. Right? So Shevet Gdola is Nezek, and Shevet Ktana is unemployment. Now, why is that important? Because we know that by a Adam, when a person injures another person, or a person kills another person, why we have, well, not killed, Nezek's probably the more, there are five things. They're entitled to Chamisha Dvarim, or Dalet Dvarim plus Nezek, right? There's Nezek, Tsar, Boshet, Ripoy, right? And in this instance, so we have all of those items. That only applies to an Adam. A Shor who damages an Adam is only entitled to Nezek. The Adam, the person's injured, is only entitled to Nezek, nothing else. Based on that, you have a Shor only pays when there's Nezek. So according to Abaye, right, who says in this case that when you have a injury like this, you get both Shevet Gedola and Shevet Ktana, then you are paying for Nezek. If you're paying for Nezek, right, then a Shor in this instance would be Chayiv for doing such damage. This curable hand damage, a Shor would be Chayiv from it. But Rava, on the other hand, says what? How do you pay, how do you recompense, how do you compensate someone for this damage according to Rava? Right? Rava says that you don't pay Nezek in this case. Where you damage his hand, it's temporary, except that every day you go and check out. Every day he goes. Every day that he doesn't work, right, you go and pay him as if he could have done the work that he was normally did before. And then when he recovers, he'll go back to work. So Rava says you pay him each day his basically unemployment or his disability for that day. But it's not Nezek, but just what he would have earned, his lost earnings, you pay him for that day. And then once he gets better, right, he goes back to either what he could have done before, and if he can't do what he does before, then he works as a Shomer Kshuim, he does the lower level job, and then the Mazik has to fill in the differential that he had between them. But according to Rova, there's no Nezek here. It's all about what your earnings were, and he's compensating you for the lost earnings, not for the Nezek itself. According to Rova, there is no Nezek here. If there's no Nezek here, then a Shor is not Chayiv, because a Shor is only Chayiv in Nezek, not for Shevet, not for anything else. So based on that, so that's what the Gemara says here. Hanicha da Abaye, so let's read it again. Hanicha by this makes sense according to Abaye Darmei Notein Lo Shevet Gedola V'Shevet Ktana. That works because he has Nezek and unemployment. Shapir. Ella Rova, Darmei Notein Ella. So now Darmei Notein Lo Ella Shivto Shubchol Yom V'Yom. According to Rova, he's only paying unemployment. Hai Shorhu. This is a Shor. V'Shorin O Mishalim Ella Nezek. And a Shor only pays for Nezek. He doesn't pay for Shevet. He doesn't pay for unemployment. So, according to Rava, so Ibayetema Shiko Adam. The case is where an Adam injured him. When an Adam injures him, then he's chayiv in all these different types, and then according to Rava, it won't be an issue. Because in that case, again, he will split the difference. Vibayetema Memrohi. The other possibility is that this whole Gemara that we just learned is not a Braisa. It's not a Tanaic statement. It's just a Memro of the Gemara. They're making up cases, or they're saying something, trying to make a point or trying to figure out how to figure out the Mishnah. And Rava says, a memra la Rava, lo sirli. I just don't hold of this memra. This is a memra of the Gemara, and that's I don't hold like this. I think this is wrong. I think this is memra is wrong. So that's the case. So according to Rava, you don't, this case of delo kal yakarno, right? He doesn't have to figure out this case of delo kal yakarno, because he says, guess what? I don't agree with your position. I don't agree with the way you set up the situation over here. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to move on to a new question. So just to summarize in the Memra, where we had the Mishnah Rishon, who says that one day the Eved works for the Adon, one day he works for himself. The Memra said that if he's damaged on his day, he gets to keep it. If he's damaged on the Rav's day, then the Adon gets to keep it. Then the Gemara says he gets killed if Karna Kalia, if you eliminate, if you destroy some the principle that's there, then it affects both parties. If it affects both parties, then they share in the compensation. So the Gemara wants to know, well, give me a case where you don't destroy the principle. What's the case where you don't destroy the principle? So that, the Gemara says, is an injury that is, right, that has a period over which it will be repaired, it will be healed, and it will go back to normal. So that's the principal case. So that works according to Abaye, who says that there is nezek in that case. But according to Rava, who says there's no such nezek in that case, how do you come up with the case of the shor that can do damage to him where it's lokal yakarno, where it's not affecting the principal? So we gave two answers. One answer is that it's not a shor that's damaging, it's an adam who's damaging. And there, even Rava agrees that there's damage to pay. And therefore, they would not split it. It would depend on the day that he hurt him. Or, right, we said that Rava doesn't hold of this memra. Rava says, I don't agree with this, because this is the memra of the Gemara. I don't have to acquiesce to it. I don't have to fit into this memra. And therefore, I don't hold of this memra that it would get split. That Rava would say, even in this, that it doesn't get split. Maybe Rava would say, even in this case, it would get split between the two parties. So now the Gemara moves on to a totally new case. Ibai Elohu, Me'ukav Get Shichur. All these cases, we've been talking about the Gemara, numerous cases, where we say the evidence is free, but he requires a get shichur from his adon, from his master. Like, for instance, case where he's mafkir is evid, or case where he's makdish is evid. So in those cases, we said the evid's free, but he tzarech get shichur me adono. Also, our case in the Mishnah, where he frees him, half of him, and then the other half is owned by the adon, with the bezin's kofeno told the shachvaro. So basically, he's free already. Bezin's just going to have to get a get shichur. So in all these instances where he doesn't have the get shichur yet, but yet he's a free man, what is his status? Yesh lo knas, oein lo knas. I mean, is his status still like an Eved Knani, and then if he gets killed, he will receive a knas? Or do we say no, that he doesn't get a knas because he's no longer a, right, Eved Knani? So now, the Gemara says, Kesef shlosh shlokalim itain la'adunava marachmana v'ha'alav adonhu. Right, do we say that when it comes to the knas, it goes to his master? And he no longer has a master, so there's no kesef shkalim here. Oh, Dilma gave him the mechusar get shichur, but maybe because he's missing this get shichur, adon krinavei. Since who holds the keys to the get shichur is his master. And so therefore he still has some relationship with him where he's called his master. And therefore he would be knas, and the adon would be entitled to the knash. Tashma, have a case here. Heimit mishechetzio evid chetzio ben chorin. Right, this is our case before. Someone who kills a Eved, who's a half free man and half an Eved Kanani, notein chatzi knas the rabbo, right? He gives half the knas to his adon, the chatzi kofer the yoshav. So my lav k'mishna achrona. This case over here, is that like the mishna achrona where Beit Hillel acquiesced to Beit Shammai's position and says kofen et rabbo, that we force his rav to give him a freedom? So that's a case of ma'ukav get shichur. The Eved's basically free. He just needs to get shichur from his rav. And nevertheless, what do we say over here? That he shares half the knas with his adon, and half the kofar goes to his yorshim. So you still, that the adon still has a relationship with him as an adon. So the Mar says, lo, who says that? Maybe it's Kamishna Rishona. Maybe this Brisa is going like the Mishnah Rishona, where Beit Hillel still said that he was chatz one day for his rav and one day for himself. And that's why he's splitting the chatzi-chatzi. Because there he's a full slave on the day that he works for his adon. So Tashma, another chance. Hey, pilat shino v'sina simat eino. So what happens if he knocked out his tooth and he poked out his eye? So again, the Eved Ivri goes, an Eved Knani, I'm sorry, goes free if his master damages him in one of the 24 Evarim, Roshe Evarim, one of the 24 Roshe Evarim, right? And Shein and Ayin. If he does damage to any of those items, then he goes free. The Eved Knani gets his freedom. That's the compensation for that happening. So now what happens over here? He pilat shino. If he knocked out his tooth, he gets his freedom from the tooth being knocked out. But after he knocked out his tooth, he also blinded him. So now that he's a free man, after he knocked out his tooth, when he blinds him in the eye, he owns him compensation for the eye because he's a free man already. Yotze bishino, he goes out with his tooth, v'notein d'meino, and then he must pay him compensation for his eye. V'amar t'yesh lo k'nas, v'k'nas l'rabo, right, if you say that he still is a k'nas, meaning, because what's the case here? The case here is he's knocked out his tooth, so he goes free. If he goes free, he needs to get shechur, so it's a case of m'ukav, get shechur. And yet, what do we say? We say that he, d'meino, goes to whom? The d'meino goes to the evet. So now, if you say that there's still k'nas, after when he's m'ukav gets shechur, then who does the knas usually go to? The knas goes to the rabbo, to his adon. Hashto chavali be'achrina yavili the rabbi. Here, if someone else damaged the eved, the money would go to his adon. Chavo be rabbi gufe yavili the dide. Right. So what? And when his master hurts him, the master's got to pay the eved. No, it belongs to the master. It's his own property. He can do whatever he wants with his own property. So Mar says Dilma. The commandamar eno tzarich. Right? Maybe this is according to the one who says that you don't need it. What does that mean, you don't need it? Detanya, we have a braisa. Bekulan eved yotzei bahen lecherut. With the 24 roshei avarim, an eved goes free. What are the 24 roshei avarim? 10 fingers, 10 toes, okay, your rosh achotem, your nose, right, Rosh HaZnayim, your two ears, and his Aver, his member. So those are the 24 Rosh HaAvarim. They have to do with Negaim. Those are places that if in Mechia, if you have a Kulo, if a Nega spreads on the entire person, and you can see in those places there's healthy skin, then those places will not be considered problematic to make him Tamei, because it has to be a place where the Kohen can see the entirety of the object from in one side. But all those Rosh HaAvarim have bends in them. They have contours to them. Since they have contours, the Kohen can't see the entire place in one shot. So now, all of these. V'tzarech get shechur mi rabo, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So what do we see from this? That when you get knocked out with one of the Rosh HaAvarim, you still need to get shechur. And that would be our case over here. So he's ma'ukav get shechur, and yet nevertheless, we say that the money goes to the Evet. That shows you that there is no knas left here. So Gemara says, we're going to go like the one who says, eino tzarech. Who's that? Rabbi Meir Omer, eino tzarech. That when he knocks out his Rosh HaAvarim, he goes free, and no longer requires a get shechur. I mean that he goes free, he just walks out. It's done. Rabbi Elazar Omer Tzarech. Rabbi Elazar agrees to the position of the Tana Kama, that he needed to get shechur, right? Like Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Tarfon Omer Eino Tzarech, like Rabbi Meir, says you don't need it. Rabbi Akiva Omer Tzarech. Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar that you do need a get shechur. Machrin lifnei chachamim, those that learn in front of the chachamim, or machrin before the chachamim, or mim nirim divrei. Rabbi Tarfon b'shein v'ayin. Rabbi Tarfon's position that you don't need to get shechur makes sense when he knocked out his tooth or his eye. Ho v'torah zichtalo, because the Torah explicitly gives the case of shein and ayin, of tooth and an eye. But in the case of divrei Akiva shari v'rim, the other 24 evarim that we learn out from a klalu pratu chlal, those, what? Those should be like Rabbi Akiva, where he requires a get shechur. Why? Ho v'knas chachamim ho. So it's only a knas of chachamim, right? Therefore, he should require a get shechur. The Gemara says knas ha, right? The Gemara says knas ha kroi kadar shinon. What do you mean it's a knas? It's a klal pratu klal. It's learned out with one of the shlosh esrei midot. That's not a knas de rabbanon. That's a doraisa. We learn out with one of the shlosh esrei midot. Ella ema ho midrash chachamim ho. It's not a explicit doraisa, but rather it's something that's learned out from a limut. And since it's learned out from a limut, it has a different status. It's very, very, very interesting. This part is very interesting according to the Machrin. According to the Machrin, when it's explicit in the Pasuk, right, then, so what's our fear over here? Our fear over here is what somebody in the Shuk is going to see him, or the master will see him in the Shuk and say, you're my Evet. And the Evet is going to say, no, I'm free because you damaged one of my Rosh HaVarim. So now, when it comes to Shein Va'ayin, that's explicit in the Pasuk. We say, Zil Karibei Rav. Go and ask the children. Anybody who knows a pasuk knows that a shein v'ayin goes out. So if the eved shows that his tooth's knocked out or his, that his eye is blinded, he said, that's why I'm going free, and everybody knows that. But if he talks about Rosh HaAvarim, not everybody knows that, because that's not explicit in the pasuk. That's only a limud chachamim. Since a limud chachamim, we require get shechur to protect him, that he should remain free, right, even after he goes out. can't prove to me anything from that brisa. Why? Because in that brisa it says that if he knocked out his tooth and then knocked out his eye, that he pays the money to the Eved. But maybe that's going according to those that say that you do not need a get shichror when you walk out one of the Roshei Avarim. So if that's the case, then this Eved goes free without any get shichror, and it's not mukav get shichror, so you can't prove anything from that brisa. That's the answer. But now, we leave that as a machlokes. Again, a machlokes. Now, mukav get shichror, we don't know who gets the knas, who does not get the knas. Now the Gemara says, Yibayluhu, mukav get shichror, ochel betruma, o eno ochel. When you have a mukav get shichror, can he eat truma, or can he not eat truma? Why? Kinyan kaswar machmanan v'hayi love kinyan kaspohu. Right, the Torah says, who eats truma for the king? Someone who's owned by the Kohen. And this guy's no longer owned by the Kohen. Oh, Dilma. Came into Mechusar Get Shechur, Kinyan Kaspo, Kinyan Bey. Or maybe because he's still tied to the Adon because of the Get Shechur, he's still called Kinyan Kaspo, because the Adon holds this key to his freedom. And holding the key to his freedom, that's called Kinyan Kaspo. Tashma. So try to prove this. Damar Rav, Mishar Sheh Kohenet, Shnit Arev Vladab Vlad Shivchata. You have a kohenet who gave birth to a baby, and a shivcha of a kohen, a shivcha ktanit of a kohen, who gave birth to a child. Right? So therefore, hari elu ochlim betruma, both of them can eat truma mimonav shach. Right? One of them is the son of a kohen, right? So therefore he eats truma. The other one is the son of a shivcha that belongs to a kohen. That also belongs to the kohen. It's kinyan kaspo. So they both eat truma. They have to both go together. Whenever they go to collect truma from anyone, they must go together. Because there's a principle that we don't want people to think. If people take truma from the Goren, then malin b'yuchsin. We assume that they're a Kohen. So therefore, we make them both go together so nobody will make a mistake and assume that one of them is they're both Kohanim, because one of them is obviously not a Kohen. One of them is an Eved. Right now, higdilu, when they become of age, when they become adults, hatarovet meshachrin zedzeh. Once these two grow up, they free each other. Because one of them is a Kohen, and one of them is an Eved Kanani. So there, what do you see over here? You see that, in the end, what do? They free each other. But until the point that they freed each other, they both eat truma. So what's this case? This is a case where ma'ukav gets shichrur, right? Because the case where he needs to go free, the only thing that's holding him back is that they're not old enough to free each other. As soon as they come of age, they'll free each other. So it'd be the equivalent of ma'ukav gets shichrur. Mar says, hachi hashta. What do you mean? These aren't similar cases. Ha'tami yavo yaliyahu biyomar b'chayvinayu David who... Kinyan Kaspo, Karinan Bey. Why does he eat Truma until that point? Because if Eliyahu comes along and tells us he's an Eved and he's a Kohen, they both still eat Truma. They're both entitled to Truma. So once they become of age, they free each other in order to get rid of this problem of not knowing if he's an Eved and who can marry whom and who can marry a Bat Chorin. Right? But, Hacha, right? In our case, Lav Kinyan Kaspo, Hu Klal. In our case, there's a possibility he's not his possession at all. I mean, it's not like he is his possession. And then he's going to take away that. In this case, it's possibly that he's not a possession at all because he's already free. And therefore, he may not be a possession. So you can't compare the case. So now the Gemara leaves that, doesn't answer it. All right, Ibayaluhu, let's do this last question. It's a long piece. Piece goes into tomorrow's dot, but I think we can fly through it and we can get through it, all right? Ibayaluhu, Eved Shemachrora Bo the Knas. It's a very interesting case. He sells him for the Knas. The possibility that this Eved will collect on Knas. What's the Knas? If a shor damages the Eved, he gets Shloshim Shekel. So he sells that value, that the possibility that this Eved will be gored by a shor, and that he will collect on a Knas. So he sells that future option, he sells. So Rashi claims that he's selling that option. Tosa says you can't sell that option. Everybody agrees you can't sell it. It's a case where he sells the Eved entirely just for that option. I mean, the Eved is valueless, and he's selling him just for that Knas. Or he has some value, but he's basically selling him most of what he's paying him for is this Knas. Right, machor enu machor. Is that a sale? Is that a valid sale? Tibay the Rabbi Meir, Tibay the Rabbanan. It's a question going to Rabbi Meir, and it's a question going to Rabbanan. Who's Rabbi Meir? Tibay the Rabbi Meir. Where's Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says you can be makne dover shelo bali olam. You're right. You can acquire. You can make a kinyan on something that does not exist. So Tibay the Rabbi Meir. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Meir adam makne dover shelo bali olam. When does Rabbi Meir say you can be makne dover shelo bali olam? That's elakigon peiro dekel David atu. That's when you're talking about fruits that will eventually come. You have a physical dekel here, and we know that the dekel will produce fruits in the future. So underlying assumption, you can be makne because that's something that is in potential is there, and therefore you can be makne it. Aval hocha mi'er demingach. Right? Who says, first of all, he's going to get gored? Vim tim salar demingach, mi'mai demishalim. Who? How do you know that he'll even get paid? Even if he gets gored, who says he's going to pay? Dimo modeh mistar. Because it's a knas, and it's a din in knas. Modeh b'knas is patur. So maybe the mazik will come along first and be modeh, and then he won't be chayv anything. So this is a option that doesn't necessarily have to come about. So maybe even Rabbi Meir in this case agrees that you can't be maknas such a davar because it's less than davar shaloba leolam that he says works, because there we know it will happen. It's just a matter of time. Over here, there's no certainty that it will ever happen. Viti by the Rabbanon. It's also a question according to the position of the Rada. Ad kan lo kami Rabbanon. Ein adam makna davar shaloba leolam el golam peiro deko the hashta mea litnu. Because when it comes to fruits of a tree, they don't exist right now. They're not in existence. Aval hocha hakai shor v'hakai evet. But over now, when we're talking about the evet is here and the shor is here, everything's in existence. It's just the action that's missing. So that's not davar shaloba leolam. They both are in existence over here, and you have to sell it. So that's what Tosa says over here. You have to sell the Eved for the Eved himself. You can't sell his knas. You're selling the Eved, the object himself. So Mai, what's the din? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Tashma. It says, for a Kohen, who gets to eat from the Kohen's Jumah? It says, V'yalid bayit. Ma Talmud Lomar. Why do you have to tell me about a Yalid bayit? Im kinyan kesef ochel. If someone that he acquires, meaning that if he buys an Eved Kanani or Shifra Kananit, then they eat in his Jumah. Yalid bayit, a child that's born to a shifcha kananit, certainly should eat truma. Lo kosher kain, ilu kain, hayiti omer. Ma kinyan kesef, sheyesh bo shava kesef. Had I just written kinyan kesef, I would have thought kinyan kesef means somebody who has value. Ochel, af yalid bayit, sheyesh bo shava kesef. So too, oh, someone's born in his household only if they have value. Ochel, uminayin, sheafel pi sheeno shava klum. How do you know that if the person's worthless, that he still eats truma? Tamaloma, yalid bayit. So yalid bayit comes to teach me not only when he's valuable, but even if he's valueless, he's still entitled to eat truma. Mikol makom. Vadayin ani omer, yalid bayit, ben sheyesh bo shava kesef, ben sheyesh bo shava kesef. When it comes to a yalid bayit, someone's born in his household, when a shifcha gave birth to someone in his household, they would eat, whether they're valuable or valueless, they'll eat truma. Ochel, kinyan kesef. But when it comes to a Kenyan Kasper, if he bought a Shivchanit, bought an Evikanit, right, Yeshbo Shavakesef Ochel. If he has value, he'll eat, because it says Kenyan Kaspo. Embo Shavakesef and Ochel. If he's not valuable, he will not eat. Tamar Lomar, Kenyan Kaspo. So it comes to teach you Kenyan Kaspo, Vyalid Beito. There's a hekesh between them. Mayalid Bayet, Apopishaino Shavaklum, Ochel. Even though he's valueless, he eats Truma. Af Kenyan Kaspo. Apopishaino Shavaklum, Ochel. Even though he's valueless, he also eats. If you believe that if you can sell your Eved for the value of his Knas, that option is Knas, there is never an Eved that's valueless. Right? Then there's never, an Eved is always valuable, because if he gets killed, there's a Knas. So how can you have a valueless Eved, right, if you can always sell him for his Knas? So Mar says, in, there is such a case. Ika Eved Treifa. Right? You have an Eved who's a Treifa, therefore he's not valuable, meaning that he doesn't Amish Amalav Knas, because he's Gavar Diktilohu. He's already as if he's dead already. Gemara says, but in that case, what is the Vahachazi that make him Kamei? So then, in case he's valuable, because even if he's a Trefa, the Eved can still work for the Adon. So what do you mean he's valueless? He's not valueless. A Trefa still works. So Gemara says, Menuval Umukashchin. That not only is he a Trefa, but he's also a Menuval or Mukashchin, where he's so disgusting that nobody would use him, so therefore he's completely valueless. So in that case, we can come up with a case. Even though an Eved can be sold for Knas, right, that doesn't mean that we can't come up with a case where an Eved is valueless. What's a case where an Eved is valueless? That's a case when he's a Trefa who's a Mukeshchin. Because he's a Trefa, he's a Barktil already, he's a Mukeshchin, so he can't service any Adon because nobody's going to be near him anymore because he's so disgusting. So in that case, he's a valueless Eved, and that'll be the case that this Brisa was talking about. And therefore, again, you can't prove, you can't be conclusive about the question of whether you can sell an Eved for his Knas or not. All right, we'll stop over here. Yeah.